So, Father, we just thank you for just another evening of fellowship, just coming together, just be together with like-minded believers that are running after you and seeking truth and seeking to be pleasing to you and just putting to death flesh and just walking as you walk to the cross, Lord. And we just thank you for just guiding us tonight, Lord. Let us be pleasing to you. Let us bless you tonight. Let us edify each other tonight and just be used of you. And we just thank you. Just bind up the principalities that would try to come against the equipment tonight or the internet connections or, you know, bind up anybody from sharing what's in their heart. And we just thank you for just a blessed night. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and, you know, start off in prayer. If anybody needs prayer, would like to pray, let's kick that out there first. Does anybody need prayer or have somebody on their heart or would like to pray for somebody?
I need some prayer.
All right, Tim, what's going on?
All right, I don't know if Michael here told you this, but you know, I was there for pot busting this past Saturday, and I set my trip odometer when I left my driveway to go down there and come back. And when I came back, my trip odometer when I parked in my driveway was 666.6.
Okay.
Now, I don't believe in coincidences, and I think God is trying to tell me something. Now, I have fasted since Sunday evening. I was fasting 72 hours straight, drinking nothing but coffee, water, and two small glasses of V8. I had to break my fast because I was getting too weak to be able to function, and I still don't have an answer. So if I could get prayer for God to reveal to me what he is trying to tell me, that all those sixes seems a little ominous to me.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll definitely put our faith together and you know, believe with you. So Father, we just lift up Tim, Lord, and you know, he got those numbers on his trip counter, and he's been fasting, Lord. He wants to be pleasing to you. His heart is to be in your will and to do your will, and Lord, right now he doesn't. You know, he knows you're trying to get his attention. He's not sure, you know, where he might be in error or, you know, where he needs to change his ways or anything like that or, you know, what you're trying to tell him. So, Father, right now, we just believe with him that you're going to give him a dream. You're going to just give him a word. You're going to give somebody a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, whatever it takes. Just to understand what you're trying to show him, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you that you are a loving Father, and you just try to get our attention and try to get us back on that narrow path. And, Lord, he's seeking you right now, and he wants to be dead to his flesh. He's, you know, he's been fasting. He's been starving that old man, and, you know, he wants to hear from you. So, Father, right now, we just thank you that you're just gonna give him discernment. You're gonna give him a vision. You're gonna give him a dream. You're gonna just speak to him somehow. And we just thank you for that. We believe and put our faith with his for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, I just ask that you give Tim peace in his heart, Lord. Until you do reveal to him if there is anything. And Father, we just praise you that he's going to rest in the knowledge that you're in control and ain't nothing can happen unless you design it, Lord. And I just thank you that you have put him, placed him in peace and rest in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Thank you, Tim. Love you, man.
Love you, too.
All right. Anybody?
Tim?
Anybody else? Yes, Judy.
Tim? Yeah, this is Judy. I'd like to pray for Pam Orr and Steve.
Okay.
Steve has a check on his leg, and she doesn't know how it's going. But, dear Heavenly Father, I'm bringing up to you Pam and Seymour. Pam is just having some. She needs more wisdom. She needs more strength and understanding, Lord. Be with her, guide her, and protect her. Put a protective hedge around her and help her in all the things that she does. Give her understanding, Lord. And be with Steve because he had a tick on his leg, but it's going to heal, and you have healed it. Thank you, Father.
And, Father, we just call that leg healed in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for his salvation. We just thank you for granting him repentance and just giving a hunger for the truth, Lord. And we just thank you that you're working in him, that you're going to, you know, just turn him towards you. And we just thank you for working in that family, working in Pam and blessing them and just bringing them into one accord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Anybody else?
Tim, me again. I wouldn't mind having a prayer for me. Satan's kind of pounding on my shoulder here, and I'm rebuking him and casting him down. But so I just appreciate a prayer for you also.
Okay. So what's going on with your shoulder?
Yeah. Yes, my right shoulder and hand.
All right. So, Father, we just all put our faith together for Judy right now. We just speak to that shoulder and whatever is, if there's anything out of alignment, we command it to be lined up. We command the muscles to be relaxed and put back into place. We just come against any pain. We rebuke that pain right now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you that there's a total restoration. And, Lord, we just thank you for blessing Judy. Judy, you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. We come against that spirit of arthritis. We command it to go. You have already been sent, delivered from her, and loose from her. I command you by the power of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, to cease your activities against Judy right now. In Jesus' name, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Judy is healed in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. I am healed. Thank you, Father.
All right, Michael, we lost you for a minute there. You're talking to the fan again. So, all right, anybody else need prayer or would like to pray for somebody?
I'd like to make a quick comment about Tim and his 3 6s or 4 6s. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah.
There's nothing prophetic here as much as I just want you to kind of not own that, Tim. One of the things I got was 3 6s in my life was my social security number. It's got 3 6s in it. And for the longest time, that really bothered me. But, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that are going to come against us, and it doesn't have to be us. It's not us. We're not taking the mark. We're running after Jesus. We're reading the scriptures. I assume you pray in tongues. I mean, all these things we're trying to stay on track on. And I'm fasting too because I'm trying to get humble and get a few things right with the Lord, and just understand, you know, just more understanding, more wisdom, more of the Spirit, more of the walk of Jesus. But Satan's gonna, if he can come in there and throw a little curveball at you, you know, and if he can get you off track and make you feel uncomfortable, well, that can work to our advantage because it can make us dig deep in for the Lord more. But at the same time, we got to realize we are fighting that battle. We do have this spiritual thing happening around us, and it does give us, puts us in places we're not comfortable with, you know, and makes us get stirred up and kind of off center a little bit sometimes. That's going to happen. It happened to Apostle Paul. He was buffeted, and we got to expect the same thing too. So don't let this make you feel like, oh, wow, whew. Maybe I'm not the Christian I should be, or I'm missing the mark. Well, we're all not on top of it. We're not 100%. Even Paul said that, Apostle Paul. But we're working. We're striving for that. Just keep striving. That's all I can do is just encouragement. Don't worry. Just stay on course. You'll be fine. But I think you're doing the right thing, the fasting. We all need to do that and get as much as Jesus we can because, you know, everything we're seeing and the conference calls and the weekly updates is just, you know, we're getting really close.
Thank Amen. You, brother.
Yeah, and the key thing is, Tim, you're just, you're, you know, as soon as you saw that, man, you're seeking the Lord, you're fasting, you're just, you know, he knows your heart, and he knows you want to be right with him, and that's the key thing, is, you know, most of the believers out there, you know, wouldn't, if they got, you know, that on their speedometer, they wouldn't even phase them, you know, and, but you've got the fullness knowing that God can talk to you through all kinds of different things, and, you know, but you just can't allow the enemy to come in and get you into condemnation or you know, anything like that. So, because I remember I asked the Lord one time that, you know, who am I, or, you know, what, you know, I was really looking for a word of encouragement, and I put my finger down on, you know, the scripture that says that, you know, you're just a worm. And that tore me up for a little bit. And that spirit of rejection tried to come in, and, you know, and, but I, you know, I was able to see that, I think that was Paul or somebody like that, that, you know, it was, you know, he was, you know, it wasn't a bad thing, you know. So, but, yeah, the enemy can twist, you know, twist some thoughts around to that. But, man, you're seeking the Lord, and you want to be an overcomer, and, you know, you want the Lord to show you something so you can repent and get right. So that's where he wants us, is just seeking him. And you know, it's awesome that you're fasting and just want an answer. So just hang in there. He's going to bring you through it. Okay, anybody else?
Well, thank you, but, you know, it wouldn't bother me if I came home from work and that was it, but this is the round trip to the pot blessing. That's where I got to come from. So it's kind of like, you know, that's what, you know, opened my eyes to it so much. So,
all right.
But I thank you for the encouragement. I really do.
Tim, I asked the Lord for a word by faith, random at faith, and he gave me, because I asked the Lord, you know, I'm supposed to take this, you know, personally, and so the Lord gave me Psalm 31:8, and this is where I landed. And thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large place. I think the enemy is just trying to get you down, since you were just at the pot blessing with brothers and sisters, and the enemy's just trying to mess with you.
I will definitely accept that, sister. Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lord bless you.
Bless you too. Thank you very much.
All right. Who else needs prayer? We'd like to pray for somebody.
Hello.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I one of these guys were reading the word from the Sermon on the Mount, and he read the first verse there, and it said, "Blessed the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens." And, you know, he gave an analogy of what that meant, and it sort of really caught me off guard. And because, you know, I remember asking of another person a long time ago that, and that just stuck inside my head for the longest time. But when I think it was Michael who said that poor in spirit meant that the person had no pride or arrogance, and I sort of thought about it and said, well, who's right here, you know? And I looked at the verse later again, and I went, well, because what I was taught was this is a young person in the Lord, and he's poor in spirit, and he doesn't understand too well. But, you know, you would expect a poor person in spirit to be a rich person in spirit if he had the kingdom of heaven, you know. So it, what I was explaining was something that really, I guess, wasn't right, and I was delivered of this, and, you know, I would just like prayer to, so that when I'm reading the Bible, that if there's anything else that I was taught in the past that's not really right, that I would read it more carefully and see through the things that, you know, that I don't come to a conclusion that was fed to me in the past in the different denominations I was in, that I would be clear of that and that I would see what it means properly. Do you understand?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. No, we can definitely pray. I'll pray what, you know, what I had asked the Lord, you know, and this wasn't not too long ago, was that, you know, I asked him to open my eyes spiritually when I was reading the word, to see it in the spirit and not see it in the natural, and basically do the same thing. Anything that I was taught, you know, I want to be taught by, you know, by the Lord. And, you know, because sometimes we get, you know, we get doctrine from our past and stuff like that. And so I asked the Lord to, you know, just kind of open up my spiritual eyes. And then what I did is I just slowed down when I was reading the word, and I just asked, I would just read one, you know, one scripture and ask the Lord, you know, what are you showing me in this? And he started opening up little, you know, little things here and there. And I just slowed down, and, you know, so I could, you know, really understand it and ask him, you know, what he was showing me. And the more I did that, the more he was just opening up my spiritual eyes. And I was really enjoying reading the word like I never enjoyed reading the word before, because he was showing me little hidden things that were in there, you know, types and shadows and stuff like that. So let's pray. So, Father, right now, Andrew is seeking to, you know, he knows that he's got, you know, some doctrine and some teachings that might not be of you, that might be of man. And he's asking that you just help him to discern that. And Father, we just pray right now that you just open up Andrew's spiritual eyes, that when he's reading the word, that he will see it in the spirit, that he will be led of you as far as what the meanings are, that you'll just, you know, bring that word alive to him, and he'll start seeing some of the types and shadows and the depth that is in the word, and not see it in the natural. And Father, we just ask that anything that he's learned in the past that is not from you, that is, you know, that he consider it dung, and that stuff get cast out, and that you just, you know, just bring forth what you want to show him in the word. And we just thank you for just giving him a hunger for truth, and that you're going to open his eyes to truth and give him an excitement for the word like he's never seen it before. And we just stand and we just believe that, and we thank you for that, and we just ask you to bless him in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
Lord, because when you showed me this, I also thought of the brethren, that you would also grant that to them also, Father, that they too would be corrected by you through your guidance when they study the word also, Father, in case there be some sort of misunderstanding, just like in the book of Acts when Paul corrected Peter with the dissimulation they had there, or any other sort of thing where they may have picked up something wrong, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, because there's over the years, there's there was a scripture, I think it was about Michael might know about. It was a Paul or Saul falling off a horse, and it's really not in there. So somebody pointed that out to me, and when I went back and read it.
You're talking about Acts where he fell to the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was always taught he was knocked off his horse. And I went back and somebody said he was never on a horse, or something like that. And I went back and it wasn't in there. And I always believed that. So there's other little things like that we've always believed. But then the thing is, when you start slowing down reading the word, those things start popping out. You start seeing things you never saw before. And, so I just, when I quit reading it just to read it and started reading it to be a disciple and just, I really wanted to understand it. And a lot of things I just never saw before started just coming out. So, amen.
Yeah, like the point there where in the millennium, if you're not saved before the millennium, you will not necessarily be saved if for the people who are the millennial people there, unless they're in this camp of the saints. The people who are surrounding that camp won't be saved even though they have all this blessing around them when Satan is loosed upon them. That was another one that got me too, I thought that there was going to be salvation for some of these people. That was another thought some other people had too on that.
Right. And that was something that, there is no salvation in that, in the millennium. It's just because in the end, you cast Satan down, but in the end they all turn, they all turn back to Satan,
Which would be kind of weird. They would be so blessed in a wonderfully restored world, like having blessing from God and then turning on his people. I kind of wonder if it's like the people who go from mortal to immortality, the ones who are taken up alive, if they'll be in that city, or if we're all going to be in that city, when it'll be, thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven, Basically, they'll have a bit of heaven during that millennium, and then, the people anyway that are doing the surrounding of the camp of the saints, I just sort of wonder, what would this be doing there except raining, blessing the people that are going to do this to them later? Anyway, I sort of think about that a bit.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if Michael Hare or Michael Montana have any comments on that, or
are you? I was doing something else while he was talking. Is he talking about the millennial reign? What's going to happen to the people there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the Bible tells us there's only going to be one more resurrection of the saints. And so, if there's only going to be one more resurrection of the saints, then the people in the millennial reign don't have a resurrection. So what happens is those people are going to live under the reign of the glorified people.
I understood that because they have to surround someone.
Yeah. So which part didn't you understand? I'm sorry. I was trying to do two things at one time and failing miserably.
We were just talking about how some people actually thought that there might be some salvation for them. I actually thought that's the way it was too. That's something that through these conference calls that we're being corrected of, and the thing that I went through, it actually gave a bit of a scare to me, because I was going, well, how many other of these goofs that I do I have in me? And that's why I requested prayer. And you know, I also would like prayer be given to the brethren for any things that they may have that are contrary. Doctrine of the Lord. Did that anyway, so.
Amen. Well, that's one nice thing as far as that, you know, David has just challenged me to really, you know, dig into the Word and search out the truths. And, you know, in the beginning, he was like, you know, don't believe this because I'm telling you. You need to search this out for yourself. But this is what the Lord, you know, showed me. But when I, you know, when I read Sovereign God for the first time, I mean, just so many things started coming together that just really didn't fit my mind. And I, you know, I thought Satan was just as powerful as God. And, you know, Satan won this battle and we're going to win the next one. And I mean, it was, you know, I never really saw that, you know, that God created Satan, and, you know, he was a tool, and one angel bound him up. And when I started seeing that, then everything started making sense, because I didn't see God in the trials I was going through. I was just always Satan was, you know, doing this to me. And, you know, I didn't know it was, you know, I was being chastened because I was, to come into sonship. And I never understood sonship. I never understood dying to the flesh. And you know, as I, you know, studied the Word and you know, studied some of the teachings and dug in, I could see it in the Word. And it was like everything just started making so much sense to me that really didn't fit when I was in the apostate system. And it was a feel-good message. Everything was to make you feel good. And there was very little conviction. There was very little, you know, truth. It was all, you know, blessings and prosperity and you know, everybody's blessed. And it was just, you know, just pay your tithe. And I was just under this deception. And that's where I really saw is the deceived really don't know they're deceived until they're challenged in the Word. And if I wasn't hungry, I wouldn't have been challenged, but I was hungry and I started hearing some few truths. And I think most of the people here were just hungry for truth and, you know, just saw so much stuff that just didn't line up, or little things, and or they were wounded by the, you know, the apostate system out there and put under the law. And you know, they were searching for truth, so they were hungry, and the Lord led them to, you know, to this ministry and led them to some real meat. And, you know, you think you're eating meat, but you're just drinking milk. And then when you get some real meat, you start choking on that meat, and you got to learn how to, it was a real trial for me when I started getting some of these, you know, deeper truths. So, but it's all part of the growth. So, it's been an awesome journey. So,
okay, thank you. I'm gonna mute myself.
All right. Okay. All right. Anybody else have a thought on their mind? Anybody else need prayer or want to pray for anybody?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Gainold.
Do I sound like I'm underwater, or is it okay?
No, you sound great.
Okay, well, the word I got this morning, it just to me, the thing that Tim called about before, you know, the getting all the sixes, and he just was really searching himself to see what he might be doing, and I know that's what we all do, because we want to be pleasing to the Lord, and that kind of went along with the word I got, and then the scripture also. Would it be okay if I just read it?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted throughout all the earth, for I am sovereign. I bring rain upon the just and the unjust. There will be storms in life for the just and the unjust. There is a difference in how each will act and react. Those who are mine will seek me with all their heart. They will seek my guidance that I may direct their path. Those who are of the world will seek to be comforted by those of the world. The ways of the world are not mine. They will have great fear. Those who are mine will rest in my work, in my promises, and my provision for them. They need not be concerned for the morrow, for I am holding them in the palm of my hand. They are secure in me. They will be filled with my peace and know that I will not depart from my word of what I have said I will do, that you will be hidden with Christ Jesus in me as you abide in me. There is safety in nothing or in no one else. Seek me in all you do. Speak in agreement with all that is your inheritance. Police your thoughts that you don't receive anything not of me. Be watchful. Be attentive to my spirit. Let my spirit fill you with peace and joy, confidence and hope in the days to come. Rest in me. Let no distraction overcome you. And the scripture that I got just by random was from 2 Corinthians, and I was going to start in verse 6, and what I thought was kind of cool was the heading over this was, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And I thought that was kind of cool. Starting with verse 6, "Seeing it is God that said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.' But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." And just death to the old man, and I know that's what each one of us here is pursuing. You know, that is our desire, that the old man in us die. And I've gotten things that have really concerned my spirit, and you know, the Lord knows when we go to him and ask questions, even though we don't seem to get an answer as soon as we want an answer. But I know that he will answer him. And just the fact that the first thing he did was seek the Lord knows his heart. And that was just all that I wanted to share. Lord bless you all.
That was really, really good. And I think there's a lot of us that feel, you know, pressed and perplexed and pursued and smitten down. I'll share something that, I mean, this just happened this afternoon, but we had a little lunch today and, you know, Michael cooked some burgers. We got, you know, Julie's leaving in the morning. And so he invited, you know, some people over just for some burgers and that, and we're just having a great time. And I get a call, and I get sent an email, and it's from I've got a realtor that I'm dealing with, and basically I've got this property up in Ohio, and when the Lord kind of brought everything together for us to move to Tennessee. I mean, he basically sold the house and the business, you know, the same day. And I mean, everything was just orchestrated. And we sold our home, and we took the money from that home. And I owed, you know, I had a mortgage on my business property, and I paid that off, and I was debt free. And I'd never, you know, I hadn't been debt free in so long. And so my plans were to sell the property, and the city that I lived in wanted to buy this property, and they were going to give me a real fair number on it, and I was kind of waiting on them, and it didn't come through, and I was like, okay. And you know, they said, well, you know, we're going to apply for this grant again the next year. And so I kind of hung in there, And during this time, a friend of mine, a brother in the Lord, I allowed him to move in there, and he had a ministry that he could run out of there, and I just kind of like blessed him, and just cover the taxes, and you guys can just stay there and just bless you. And so this whole thing came together. So I thought the second year that this thing was gonna come together through the city, and it fell through again, and it was like, okay. And I saw the Lord in it, and I had patience in it, and that. And then we're going into the third year, and this year, I get a bunch of, violations on the property. I get all these things written up that is going to, if I've got to do them, it's going to be in the thousands of dollars. And the city is, ends up, smiting it, or I mean they're going for a different type of thing where they can, it was like they're condemning the property so they can take it through a different type of grant or something, and they were sure they're going to get this, and at this point the price had dropped because I was advertising it, I was trying to sell it myself. And I was advertising it at a lower price, just trying to move the property, and then this whole thing came about, and it became a real trial. And I had, there was an inspector that I'd run across in the past, and it was just trying my flesh, and I just had to get my eyes on the Lord, and this whole situation. And I ended up going up there, and the house was just not taken care of, and I'm trying not to get into unforgiveness. I kind of got into unforgiveness, and I was turned over to the tormentors, and I was just, my flesh was just being crucified, and this thing has just been going, on and on and on. And then finally, I don't even know when it was, 6 months ago or so, I got an offer on the property, and my realtor's telling me this guy is gold. He wants it as is. He's not worried about anything, on the property. He's a remodeling contractor, and he'll take it just as is, and there's no issue with the financing, and the company that he sends all his business to is going to finance it, and it's going to be a done deal. And we set up a closing date, and I just went into the rest. It was like, okay, the Lord's got this, and we get to the closing date, and I never even had a phone call. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? So like the day after closing, I finally call my realtor. He doesn't call me back for 2 or 3 days. And finally he calls me back and says everything fell apart. And I was like, okay. And I'm seeing the Lord in this, because I'm seeing, the world around us ramping up, and, the words we're getting that, this thing could be coming to a head soon. So I see, God's going to sell this at the very, very last moment. And so then my realtor says, hey, I've got a bank I deal with that writes SBA loans. This guy qualifies. He just has to fill out a bunch of paperwork. And I'm sure I can get him financed. I said, okay, fine, just let it go. And I just went in the rest. I didn't follow up on it. I didn't call him, anything like that. And he called me 2 days ago and said that fell through. And it was like, oh my goodness, right? He says, but I've got another offer, and the guy wants to do kind of a land contract, and he submitted this offer. I'll send it to you. And I says, okay, fine. And so I open up the email this afternoon while I was, at this little luncheon that Michael had, and I look at this thing, and it's like, he wants me to finance it for 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, he's going to give me like a balloon payment. And I'm thinking, I know what's going on in the world and the economy, what God is showing us and all that. And I'm thinking, and the whole way this thing was written, it was like all in his favor. It was like, I just felt like I was being taken advantage of, and I'm just trying to fight my flesh and fight the thoughts, and it's like, I know the Lord is in control, but I'm not seeing the Lord right now, and everything just seems like it's just coming against me and just not coming together, and it's like, Lord, what is going on, and you just start getting into that doubt, and what did I do and what's going on? And so I was just, I was out of the rest this afternoon, and I had to get with David and get some prayer and just kind of, you know, just get refocused. So it's, you know, it's, you can go from the rest, you know, one moment and just one little thing like an email come in, just totally sidetrack you, and you're sitting in the ditch, you know? So, you know, that's something that just happened to me. And it's just those things is, you know, we're being pressed, we're being perplexed, we're being, you know, pursued, we're being smitten down. And it's just, you know, it's all part of his plan, because that flesh that was in me that got riled up and got into that, you know, they're just trying to take advantage of me or whatever it is. I mean, that's just pride or whatever it is. And I got my eyes on, you know, this person that just wants to buy a property, and I'm not thinking very good of him, and I got my eyes off of the Lord. And that's a dangerous place to be. So I'm going to pray right now. So, Father, right now, I just repent of any, just, you know, thinking evil, or just thinking I'm being taken advantage of, or getting out of the rest and getting my eyes off of you. And, Lord, I know that you've got a plan, you know, and sometimes we don't understand those plans, and sometimes they just don't make sense to us, but, we just got to keep our eyes on you. And, Lord, forgive me for getting my eyes off of you and getting my eyes on myself and the situation. That's exactly where the enemy wanted me, and in, you know, bitterness or, you know, unforgiveness. And I just repent of all that, Lord. And I know you got my back, and I know that you're going to work out all things for the good. And, Lord, I just turn this over to you, and I just, you know, just thank you, Lord, for just working in me to expose this flesh and to, you know, just to, you know, help me just to, you know, just to get rid of this old man and to just, you know, have Christ rise up in me. And we just thank you for this trial in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I don't know if anybody else gets hit with, you know, things like that. It's just, you know, where you think just everything is just, you know. And the problem is I kind of look at this and, you know, in a business mind, I've just been trying to, you know, that's the old worldly type thoughts. I just got to trust the Lord. He's going to provide for me. He's going to take care of me and you know, not try to make sense of this in the worldly perspective. So, amen. So, all right, who else is... Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I just make a comment. It seems like it's interesting how, you know, the Lord presses us on areas that we know a lot about. Whatever it's going to be the area he's going to press us on, where our worldly knowledge is going to come out and how we're going to deal with it, because that's what we're good at. And that's where we get pressed as far as our challenge to how we're going to deal with the situation, whether we're going to get restful or we're going to start, you know, dealing with it in a worldly way. It just always seems like that's what it seems like what's happening here.
Yeah, that's pretty true, because if it's something that we're familiar with, you know, if it's, let's say with me, a mechanical thing, you know, the first thing I do is go grab my tools and dig into it, you know, because I'm going to fix it instead of taking it to prayer, you know? So it's just something that he's got to bring out of us. So, and then usually when we do that, we grab our tools and it's just, we think it's going to be a, you know, a cakewalk, and it never is. You know, it's just, he's got to humble us. And so, amen.
Absolutely.
With him, I can kind of relate to your situation. I've mentioned this before, but my ex-husband and I, we've been divorced now for almost 8 years, I guess. Anyway, yeah. But anyway, part of the divorce agreement was that he would refinance the house and get my name off the mortgage. Well, it's still not done because he had financial difficulties and stuff. Anyway, and you know, it's like, you know, now and then, you know, he tells me he's working on it and that, you know, he's going to get something done here soon. And, you know, anyway, it's just like, and I was just like, you know, I'm like, Lord, you got to take care of this. I, there's nothing that I can do about it, you know? And it's just one thing or another that's come up and different things, you know, once in a while something will pop up, you know, like something having to do with finances and that, like some kind of surprise will or happen. And I'm like, you know, and it's always a task for me if I'm going to get an unforgiveness or say something that I shouldn't say, which basically is unforgiving or whatever, you know. It's just been a real trial for me. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here, but I'm just trusting in you to protect me, whether he gets this refinanced or he doesn't get refinanced. I'm just believing that, you know, if the whole economy and everything falls apart before he can do this, I'm just trusting and believing that you're going to make me invisible and they're not going to know where I'm at or whatever. You're just going to take care of it, whatever, you know. Because I'm just like, I'm helpless in this situation. I can't do anything about it, you know. So.
Amen.
Interesting. So, thank you, Lord.
Well, you know. This thing with me is the other sales went so smoothly. I mean, they didn't go totally smoothly. There was trials in that. You know, there was, you know, a septic system that failed in that. But it was like, you know, it all came together. It all worked out. And I'm just, you know, it was like so easy for the Lord. He orchestrated the whole thing. And you know, this situation's going on for, you know, 4 years now. It's like, and I'm sort of like,
hey, Tim, mine's been going on for almost 8.
Yeah, it's just like, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? You know, like, you know, he's just trying to bring this out in us, you know.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, you might start to get, like, I admit there were times where I start to get annoyed with my ex, you know, and it's like, you know, the Lord goes, don't go there, you know. Oh, gee.
Amen.
So, but there's something else that I would like to share. The last time we were talking about, you, Tim, were talking about how you asked Lot about some different things or whatever, and you're saying about how, about going on that trip or something, and you're afraid the Lord was going to say no because, you know, you really believe that, you know, the Lord would answer with this, and you're afraid he was going to say no, but he didn't. But anyway, I had shared the last time that I was going to go visit my family, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but my son and daughter-in-law are buying a house, and I was going to go and help them paint and see my family and stuff. I was going to help them paint the house and stuff. And I was going to go without Merle and Alex because there's this thing going on here with this assembly that we meet with. Merle and Alex weren't going to go. And you know, Lil said that I could go, but there were at times I kind of like felt like the Lord was saying to me, you know, I just had this sense that Merle kind of felt left out because I had gone down to Tennessee for 12 days, and which he didn't want to go anyway, but But then I was going, you know, to see my family and without him. And, I mean, it was his choice, and he did say that I could go. And there were a couple other little things, you know, that just kind of, I had some doubts there, you know, thoughts of doubt here and there and stuff. And so yesterday I was praying, and I just, like, stopped, and I felt like the Lord said, you know, okay, just stop now and ask me what I, you know, what I listen to, ask me what I want to tell you now, you know. I'm like, okay, Lord. So I just stopped and I said, okay, what do you want to talk to me about? And it was just like this, you know, about going to my family this weekend. And I felt like you were saying, I don't want you to go, you know, and just showing me some things about that. And I'm like, okay. And just to make sure that it wasn't just me or the enemy, like, coming, you know, just make sure it wasn't the enemy trying to, you know, condemn me or something, you know, or try and make me have doubts or whatever and stuff, or or if it was just, you know, I just wanted to make sure it was the Lord. So I got out my 3/4 and I said, okay, Lord, can I go? And I thought he was telling me that he didn't want me to go, but I just wanted to make sure. Well, he gave me 3 tails and I got a no, I'm not allowed to go. And I was like, oh boy, do I have to lose face over this one? You know, like, but I'll do it. Because I just got done praying and, you know, telling the Lord, you know, I want to be in your will. I don't want to do my will. I want to die to self and so on and all that. I want this flesh to be gone and stuff. And so I had to, and I was just like, Lord, please let my son take this, all right, you know. And I know my dad was looking forward to seeing me. The other week, my mom called me up on the phone and said to me, your dad wants to talk to you. And if you all remember, my dad had a stroke, and he can't really talk but say yes, no, or whatever, you know, not much really of anything, and sometimes he gets them mixed up, but he is going to talk again. Thank you, Lord. He starts jabbering away. You know, I tease him sometimes. I say, okay, Dad, I don't understand tongues. I'm sure the Lord understands. Or I'll say, I need to get somebody to interpret those tongues. I tease him about it, and he laughs, you know. And but he's just jabbering away, and I don't know what he's saying. My mom's laughing in the background because he's really on a roll. Really telling me something, and I said, okay, let me guess. You're wanting to know when you can see me. When you're going to see me again. Yeah, he says. And I said, well, I don't know. And I had in the back of my mind about going in and helping my son paint at the house, but I didn't know yet about that. And I said, well, suffice if you see my face on the computer on Skype. He says, no. But I didn't tell him at the time. And so I know he was really looking forward to seeing me, too. And I was looking forward to seeing everybody, but all in the Lord's timing. But I just called up my son. I called up my son and I told him, and, you know, he was at work and he seemed to be all right with it. I said, I'm sorry, I can't come. He goes, okay. And I said, I felt like I owed him, you know, somewhat of an explanation. I said, even though Merle told me that I could come, I kind of feel like I'm leaving him out, and I really don't have peace about it. The Lord just doesn't want me to come. And I said, it's not that I don't want to help you. It's just I need to obey the Lord, you know. Basically was the gist of it. And then I had to call up my mom and dad. Well, I talked to my mom, and she goes, you know, I told her, and she says, what's wrong? I said, well, nothing really. It's just, you know, and I explained, you know. I didn't really talk to my dad at all about it, but so I mean, it's like I'm kind of disappointed, but at the same time, you know, I'm at peace about it, and I know that the Lord has better timing and all that. Right. So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, that's what I shared. It's just, you know, when my sister called me in a tizzy, and you got to come up see Mom, and the Lord kept telling me, no, but he had the perfect timing, because when I went up there, I mean, she accepted the Lord. He was working on her heart, so it was all good. So he's got a plan, you know. So the other thing that happened to me, I mean, this trial today with me was that the realtor called, and it was basically pressing me to make a decision, and I hadn't even looked at it. And I felt pressed, and I told him I said, send it to me, let me look at it, pray about it, and I'll get back to you. And he sent it yesterday, and and I was busy, and I didn't really see that he sent it. And then when he called me, I got it. And the thing was, I didn't pray about it. I got out of the rest, and I was just not in a good place. And the funny thing was, is I was like, Lord, you know, I threw a fleece. I said, you're going to have to give me three heads on this. You know, if I'm supposed to accept this or what to do. And I threw three coins, and one fell down a crack, never to be seen again, you know? And it was like, oh man, all right, I got to just, you know, then you're in a tizzy. Now what do I do, you know? But I just have to, you know, I just can't be pressured by man. I need to seek the Lord, and he's going to give me wisdom. And, you know, that's really what it's all about. So, all right, who's got something that's on their heart?
Oh, I also have something else that kind of goes along with that. This thing that's going on with the assembly this weekend, there's this, they call it a gospel thing. There's a, they're doing a playing in this park in the city in Pittsburgh. And it's a band, they're really different. I didn't hear them when they were here before because I just didn't hear them, and just leave it at that. But anyway, but they're supposed to go to five cities in 5 days, you know, like here Pittsburgh, then Cleveland, then Chicago. I don't really know where all they're going, but anyway, and it's all connected to these sect and all the localities that are part of that. But anyway, but it's supposed to be this gospel thing, and it's supposed to be a big deal and all. And when my son's settlement happened to, it jumped around and changed and stuff, and when he told me that it was the 12th tomorrow, you know, I'd asked Merle if I could go, and I told him, and he said I could go, and he said he wasn't going to go, and I totally forgot about the thing on Saturday, the whole gospel thing, and then it dawned on me later, you know, and I was like, you know, like, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, because I didn't want to be a part of it. And Merle knows that. He knows, you know, he doesn't push me and stuff to be involved with, because, like, they got 20,000 flyers to hand out, and there's this craft thing that's going on downtown Pittsburgh for, it's supposed to be a total of 10 days, so they go down there and hand out these flyers and go to different neighborhoods and handing out flyers and stuff like this for this, and it's all the works of the flesh. It's not the real gospel, you know, and it's, you know, it's basically accept Jesus and have eternal life, and there's nothing in there talking about repenting and believing in the Lord, you know. things that I've heard them say and what it says on this flyer, and it's so it is so grievous, and I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, for some reason, you know, since I'm going to be here, you want me to go, and I'm like, okay, Lord, help me to make the best of this situation, and at one point I prayed, you know, Lord, I wasn't going to be here at the time, and the thought was, you know, and I'm like, and still my prayer is, Lord, time is short. I ask you, Lord, to not allow there to be anyone that so-called receives you, that really, don't allow tares to come out of this whole thing. If there are people that truly repent and believe in you, Lord, just show them that they just need to stay home and read the word and not go anywhere, not even to this assembly, because this isn't where. Time is too short. Don't allow them to get caught up. If there's any true believers that are gained out of this, that they only be, that they not get involved in any thing that you don't want them to get involved with, that they would just stay home and read the Bible and see what the truth is for themselves, you know. So I guess I basically just prayed that again, but that's just my heart with the whole thing, and I'm like, Lord, just help me to be open if there's anyone you want me to minister to, you know. Lord, just help me to be open and see, bring, give me wisdom and discernment and in the whole thing, and Lord, to minister your gospel, your truth, my testimonies to anyone that you bring across my path in this on Saturday, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, we thank you for just using Missy as an intercessor, and pray, you know, for just this whole situation, Lord. And we just ask you to just use her mightily. And if there's somebody she needs to administer to, you know, that she can share a word of encouragement or just be a light, we just ask you to just open up that door and help her to just be used of you in this situation. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like those Christian religions out there are just like the Pharisees. They're always looking to convert somebody to bring them over in their religion, aren't they? However they can do it.
Yeah.
You really missed the better one. I mean, we had we topped you on that, really. My wife, the churches around here, they have a race every year. It's called the Fastest Pastor. The Faster Pastor. What was that?
I'm sorry, I'm outside. The neighbor's dog was barking.
Oh, okay. And so all these churches get together, and they have all their pastors race each other for to get the honors for who's the faster pastor. And they have everybody go
Lord.
And think of that. I know, I just think, I'm looking at that, and I don't know what to think. I just, you know, I'm like you guys, it's like, oh, really? But it draws the people out, man. I tell you, they come out to support their pastor. And they're all the different denominations are out there doing this. So it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the church I came from actually had Coca-Cola print the name of the church on their Coke cans. You know, we had to buy a truckload or whatever it was, you know. And so they printed the name of the church out along with Coke or whatever, and then they would go to the local, you know, carnivals or, you know, the little events in the cities and stuff like that, and hand out these free Cokes and try to evangelize the people by giving them a free Coke. And but this is all the works of man. And and there was another group, they'd get a bunch of churches together and they'd bring in a bunch of motivational speakers and they would rent out a, you know, the convention center, and they would, send these flyers to all the businesses and try to get all the people that work in the city to come down for this, motivational thing. But in the end is the gospel. They bring them in, they use some headline names to bring them in so they can, in the end, preach the gospel and, type things. And I don't know, the people that came forth had to fill out a card before they were able to, they would haul them back into a room and then have to fill out a card before they could leave. And then they would divvy them out between the churches and then the churches would follow up. And it was just a lot of works.
Was it the gospel or just accept Jesus?
It was accept Jesus. Yeah. It was accept Jesus. Some emotional type message to pull the flesh in and type things. So, but that's what they're doing. So it's all about, those are the good works is what they believe. But very few of those people that come forward ever, stick in the body. What's that, Dave?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's their fruit. That's what they think fruit is, right? Bringing people in the church.
Well, that's what I thought fruit was. Evangelizing. Everybody had to evangelize and bring them to church, invite everybody to church, try to get them saved and fill the pews. So that's fruit, bringing them in the kingdom.
Yeah, that's what this group teaches. And one thing that came to my mind two Sundays ago, like for the past like three Sundays, something like that, they've been talking about, the Great Commission, preaching the gospel and so on. And Sunday before last, I asked the Lord for a word that morning, just a personal word for myself. And he gave me Romans 15 something or whatever. But I went on and I read a little bit further, and it's where Paul says, he was saying something about, how does he say that, I don't preach anything that God hasn't done through me or something to that effect. And he was saying about preaching the gospel with, I forget how he said it, but with evidence of signs and wonders and stuff like that, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and stuff like that. So I'm like sitting there, while they're talking and I'm reading in my Bible, and I'm reading this, and I read the section about, preaching the gospel with power and signs and wonders and power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, and it's like the Lord is like, tell me, I want you to read those verses. And he also brought to my mind to read in Mark 16. And I'm like, okay. So my heart starts pounding 100 miles an hour because I'm like nervous about this, But anyway, one of the women was saying about how someone that she knows, a friend of hers, came up to her the other day and said something about how the church that she goes to, they were going to be having this thing with laying on hands and speaking in tongues, and she didn't know what to think about it. And this sister that meets with us was saying, she says, I didn't know what to tell her. I don't know about that either. I'm not sure about that either, or whatever. And so then I read the Romans 15 verses first, and then I read the Mark 16 verses there at the end of the chapter, and not even thinking about what was in Mark 16, and it says about laying on hands and speaking in tongues, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm just like, wow, Lord. So I just spoke up and I said, I'd like to read some verses on about on preaching the gospel, and I just read both sets of those verses, and nobody said anything. And I'm just like, Lord, and I just praying, Lord, help them to hear, help them to look at this themselves, you know. Lord, there's, you know, I'm believing that there's some here that are your chosen, you know. And so it was just like, wow, I didn't know if anybody was going to say anything to me about that, you know, or what. But so it was just once in a while the Lord impresses me to read verses, you know. And I very rarely say much of anything other than just read verses. It has to do with what the topic of conversation is, or the topic of what the message or so-called message or whatever is. And sometimes these verses really bring out the truth contrary to what they're speaking. And so sometimes it makes me a little nervous, but I'm like, Lord, okay, whatever. Like, Lord, help me to not take anything personally or be self-defense or anything like that. If anybody says anything to me, if I get rebuked or whatever, you know. So.
All right. Yeah, all you can do is pray. It's just if somebody isn't hungry and the Father isn't drawing them for more truth, I mean, we can just get into works. And, you know, so, all right. Anybody else got anything on their heart they'd like to share? Any testimonies, anything the Lord's doing?
Oops. Hi, it's Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Oh, yeah, I got my mute button going here. Okay. I mean, ongoing.
Ongoing.
I wanted to share an experience I had a few days ago. I've been having, actually over a number of years, a recurring dream. It was always very distressing. And it always left me feeling very remorseful and, anguished and really convicted. But I wasn't, it had to do with my childhood and the way I reacted to my adopted parents. So I had it, and the dream always took a form of me being really late getting home and not sure I was going to make it before the last train or it was too dark, or, you know, and would my mother still, you know, take me in, almost something like that. So, and there was always this look. Anyway, so I had this dream again a few nights ago. And the next day, and there was this look on my mother's face, which was usually in the dream. But, and I really can't describe it, okay? But it always left me with incredibly anguished, you know, and guilty, remorseful. So I spent then half of the next day just devastated. I mean, this was a really tough one. I said, okay, I'm going for this now. You know, I really need God's help, because it's not going to go away. That's for sure. It's actually getting worse. So I sat down with it one day, and I spent maybe an hour, but I kept getting interrupted for some reason. The world kept needing me. So yesterday I sat down again, and I was the storm in me was really outrageous. I mean, I was just broken, just heartbroken. And I just made that face just stay there, and I kept looking at it, and I asked, you know, Holy Spirit, please show me what it is I need to know. I'm keep seeing this. It's being shown to me. I need to understand this, because I need some light here. I need relief. And I kept at it, even though it was excruciating. I really didn't want to do it, you know, but I pushed, and wouldn't you know, the storm stopped for a moment, and it was like a little light came, and I understood that when we see in part, you know, it's you're in darkness and you're not seeing the truth. You're not seeing this as the Holy Spirit sees it, as God sees it. And that's what I was asking, to see it like the Holy Spirit saw this image I was getting. So I understood that there is, you need to see more. You don't like the Bible, you need to all the word, right, to understand it. So this clarity, you know, was only momentarily. You know, it was like storm stopped for a moment, you know, and some light came. And I guess it's going to, I need to see whether I am free of this, you know, darkness. But even if, you know, I see that dream again, I think I can remember what I was shown, you know, that this is only a little picture. God has a much bigger plan. And when that was the main thing I got from this, I just remembered, when you see the big plan, we understand that God, I mean, we know God is in charge. God is working out everybody's salvation. I mean, at least my mother's and mine. And it's okay, you know. It's okay. It's beautiful. I mean, it's awesome. The truth is awesome. It's not terrifying, and it's not scary. And it's not going to take us to a crazy house. That'll do. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
Hey, Gail, what was the truth that you saw?
Pardon me?
What was the truth that you saw? What was the little glimpse that you got?
That I'm only seeing.
You're only seeing part.
A little corner of this picture, but when God shows you what's going on, you see the big plan. You know, I didn't see the whole plan, but I saw a whole lot more. I mean, I understood that that God is in charge and the plan is just fine. It's working. You know, don't worry. That's what I got.
Amen. Well, that's interesting because, you know, you said that you were pressing into the Lord and you kept getting interrupted. And, you know, I believe the enemy was the one that was trying to bring the interruptions. And the storm that you were in, you know, is the enemy. And that little bit of light that you got because you were pressing in and asking the Lord, you know, to show you, and he showed you that truth that... And that happens with a lot of us is that, you know, we don't have the full truth, or we've got a spirit that twists the truth and, you know, we're seeing it in the wrong, you know, situation. And it tries to get us, you know, I know, you know, you said you came from, you know, adoptive, you know, parents and that, and, you know, I had an adopted son and, you know, he just, you know, coming into a new family, he was bounced around in four or five different foster homes before we received him. And, you know, he just, every time that, you know, he got a, you know, his fear was that we weren't going to accept him. You know, so he had a major spirit of rejection on him. Every time they says, oh, we're going to go to McDonald's, they would, you know, pack his clothes in a bag and he would be in a different foster home. And they never spoke truth through him, and, you know, they just kind of bounced him around. So he didn't want to trust anybody. He didn't want to love anybody. He didn't want, you know, because that was going to get taken away from him. Every time he built, you know, he got a little bit of love or he built a little bit of a relationship, then he would be bounced somewhere else. So when we got him, his walls were up. And, you know, he was dealing with rejection. He had walls up, you know, he was very rebellious and, you know, he would come over and like hug, you know, one time he hugged Trish's leg and then all of a sudden he realized what he was doing and he would push away. And it was just, you know, it was just the spirits and everything that, you know, that were on him. And, you know, we can't change the past. And the enemy tries to always get us focused in on who we were and what we did and what we said and
yeah.
and all these situations. And the Lord just wants us focused in on Him. And because we can't change the past, and you know, He just knows that, you know, we wouldn't do that the way we did it if we had the truth that we have now. So, you know, the Word says the truth sets you free, and He was just showing you a little bit of that truth, and you're getting freedom from that.
Yeah,
that's just an awesome testimony.
I can't believe it. You know, it's happened. You know, I've always believed that. I mean, I've spent many times in my life just before the dawn, and this certainly is another example. I mean, it was black out there. You know, the storm was nasty, and then the light. You know, and so I guess I don't know if it's true for everybody, but if it is, have courage, because the darker it gets, it's coming. The light's coming.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Father, we just thank you for just working in Gail, and we just thank you for just giving her the, you know, just the obedience to press into you and seek you out and seek truth in this reoccurring dream, Lord. And, Father, we just thank you for just showing her just a glimpse of the light, that you are there in every storm.
Yeah.
And she just needs to get her eyes on you, and we just thank you for just blessing her and just showing her the fullness of what this dream means, and just setting her free from the, you know, the remorsefulness and the guilty and all that. None of that's of you, Lord. That's all of the enemy. We just come against, you know, that spirit of guilt. We come against those those spirits that are trying to just get her focused in on her past. And we just thank you for just setting her free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, Gail, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. I wanted to comment. That was really good, Gail. It really was. You said something that was very poignant for all of us. And we're coming into those times. We're coming around a lot of darkness, and it's going to get very dark, but there's going to be some light that's going to come, all right? So you, and the light's going to shine through the darkness. So you really were saying something pretty prophetic here for us all.
Press on. thank you, everybody. Thank you, God.
Well, thanks for sharing. That was great.
Yep, seeing the light.
Yeah, that was something, you know, I mean, it's just awesome that God can speak to us in dreams, but sometimes we can twist those dreams or misinterpret them. And, you know, we kind of, if we see it in the flesh, we don't see it in the spirit. We can take things literal and not spiritual. And, you know, the enemy can, you know, bring condemnation or bring guilt or bring different feelings that, you know, maybe that dream was not intended for that, because the enemy doesn't want us to get the truth, because we do get free from the truth. He doesn't want us to get the light, because we get set free. So, you know, that's kind of interesting.
The dream did, you know, finally I had to look at it. And I mean, I certainly could be God's hand, you know, forcing me to look at what the demon in me, which was the guilt. And that's what I looked at finally. I really looked at it, and that's when some freedom came, you know. So, I mean, I don't know if it was, I think it was God's plan, you know, that, I mean, that was a help to me to force me to look at that, to see the guilt in me that was destroying me, you know. It got so bad, I had to do something. So I don't know how it works, but something good came of that. My nightmare.
Guilty of what?
What?
What was it that you were guilty of?
My behavior in my home. Well, I mean, of course, all a result of, you know, the the first 5 years of my life, which was, you know, the usual, the foster homes and the abuse and the neglect and the finally being taken away because they were afraid for my life. I mean, it was nasty. So that all, so as a result of all that, you know, I acted out, you know, and that's what I was guilty about, is my behavior. You know, my running away kind of stuff, you know, and hurting those that I love, especially my parents. So that's what it was killing me, was my guilt about my behavior.
It sounds like you were loaded up with a lot of stuff from the people that were supposed to take care of you. It mystifies me that you were so treated that way, and it would seem totally natural to me to respond that way.
It was natural that I would respond what way?
Well, with the kind of behaviors in reaction to the way that you were being treated.
Yeah. And it's surprising that I responded how? I don't understand.
Well, in the ways that you've described.
Oh, you mean that?
And then on top of that, to apply a standard of behavior, where in which, you know, in later years in life, where you can, you know, process that kind of stuff intelligently, kids don't process, they just simply react. And normally they've got, you know, parents and caregivers that take care of their kids. And it doesn't sound like you were taken care of properly at all.
Well, I think that, you know, anytime you're in a situation of, you know, adoption, you know, because we adopted our son. And they're, I mean, when a kid is, you know, that small, their brain can't process everything that's going on in their life. They're being bounced around.
Well, plus that vulnerability, a dog has a litter of puppies, and one of them gets whacked and whacked and whacked and whacked again, and then, you know, reacts to it, and then telling the little puppy dog, it's your fault. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, there's another situation is you know, in our case, I mean, we absolutely loved our son, but he would not accept that love because he was so wounded, and he didn't want he didn't want to love us or get close to us because he didn't want the rug pulled out from under him that had happened in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in that situation and you're wounded like that, there's a lot of spirits that you know, like rejection and anger and rage, and a lot of different spirits are come in that, you know, a child that's 5, 6, 7 years old is dealing with, that, you know, they shouldn't be dealing with. And you know, and rejection, I mean, that's a lot of kids that are adopted deal with rejection. You know, they've been, you know, they feel rejected, they feel they're not good enough, they feel they're not smart enough, they're, you know, it's just an ugly spirit, and it's a takedown spirit. And it just wants to destroy these little kids, and they have no, you know, it wasn't their fault, you know, that the whole situation came about.
Exactly.
It was nothing that they did, anything like that, but they're dealing with the consequences because my son's parents were, you know, crackheads. I mean, they were, you know, they just couldn't get off the dope, and the state took away the, you know, my son from them. And, you know, we ended up adopting him to just to try to be a blessing in his life. But I mean, he didn't choose those parents, you know.
So it's just, you know, we're put in this situation, and you're 5 years old, and it's just it's a lot for, you know, for a child to even bear, because they don't even understand it. And you know, he just.
There's something for me that I've always been aware of, that I didn't. I thought that everyone just went from home to home, and I couldn't quite get used to the idea. Finally, you're supposed to stay put, you know. And I couldn't quite do that ever. So, and I think the other part of that is that's your relationship to the father. If you don't, you think you're an orphan. I mean, I've always thought I'm an orphan. And that certainly, I mean, makes it, it doesn't help me to want to go to the father. I don't have a father. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, there's that part of me, you know, where you think you're an orphan, and we're not, you know, we're not orphans.
Because a lot of our beliefs are formed when we're that small.
Yeah.
And, you know, with me, my dad was a very disciplinarian, you know, he was kind of ex-military and very disciplined. And that's the way I saw my father, my heavenly father, that he was just going to, you know, if I get out of line, he was just going to, you know, whack me, you know.
I can so relate.
So, you know, we form these opinions when we're that small. And when we're in that situation where we have no control, and most of us come from dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, we really do. And, you know, most families don't talk about it, but when, you know, you really look into it, most of our families are pretty dysfunctional.
Right.
And, you know, but the thing is my parents didn't have Christ. A lot of us came from homes that really didn't have the fullness of Christ. If Christ was in the house, there was a lot of religion, you know, stuff like that. But they, you know, my parents really didn't understand what love was. And, you know, I know my parents loved me, but they really didn't know how to be parents. They were just doing the best they knew how.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, I look back and, you know, it was just without Christ in their life, without just the fullness of, you know, what God provides. I mean, it's really hard to, you know, just to, you know, be parents and to do the right things. But, you know, I had alcoholic parents and, you know, they were just very worldly and, you know, very prejudiced and, you know, it was just what I grew up in. And that was what influenced me when I was a child.
Yeah.
So all those demons of, you know, prejudice and alcohol and addiction and all that, I had to get delivered of once I came to the Lord, because I inherited all that stuff through my parents' bloodline. And even coming from adoption, I mean, my son comes from a totally addicted, type bloodline. And, you know, and we could see it just in video games. I mean, he would get on the video games and there would be just a total addiction there. He would just lose track of everything and time. And it was all part of that, you know, coming through that bloodline. So it's just, those are the things that, you know, some of those things, you know, we get delivered off right when we come to the Lord, but a lot of those things we have to work out and you know, as we go through our walk. So, amen.
Yes, amen.
What's that part?
Oh, I just said amen.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have?
Thank you.
Hey, can I say something? Hey, Gail.
Hi, Trish.
Hey. You know what? I don't think Bart heard let me use the right words here. I don't think Bart caught that, and perhaps maybe some others didn't catch the fact that what you were feeling guilty about was your behavior towards your adopt a mom that loved you, and that God let you see that. And that's amazing to me, because you're not blaming them at all for your behavior. You're not justifying yourself at all, and God's really healed you of that, I think. Maybe I think that's where the confusion came in.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I missed that.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. All right, Gail, do you have anything else you'd like to share? Okay. All right, anybody else have anything on their heart? Any thoughts about this? Anything that might have been stirred up? Or maybe, does anybody have any dreams they've been, the Lord has given them? That
Happy dreams.
Happy dreams.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I had one dream. This was a while ago. It started off like this. I was in the midst of the of a near downtown city, my home city here in Portland, and I was on a part of I-5, which is the freeway that goes north and south through here. It was somewhat of a deeply overcast day in the later afternoon, and I was traveling on foot on I-5, and the general scene was there are people about scattered hither and thither, and then the dream advanced to immediately at night, and I was about 10, 15 miles north on the same stretch of I-5, and at that part of the freeway where there was a river on the right, and then, you know, normally the Columbia sits on the left if you're traveling north, but in this dream, the river was on the right. It was at night. I was on foot. There were no real cars traveling like on a normal freeway. And my attention was hearkened to the southbound lanes where I saw somebody that I used to know before, but he was in a far more of a grotesque position, appearance, state of mind, state of spirit, traveling southbound in an old, like an old late or an old 70 models sedan. And as he was traveling south, he looked right over at me and locked eyes on me as if I instantly became a target. Now, right before this event, I was moving north on foot, and there was a small party of, say, five, six, seven, eight people as they were crossing the freeway on their way over to the embankment and then toward the river, which was not too far away from the freeway. And so I proceed on up. The guy makes, from the southbound lanes, eye contact with me, and I knew right then and there I was a target. I continued to move forward as he traveled further south to find a way to turn around and start tracking me down. Now, I knew that as he proceeded south, he completely lost sight of me. I knew that. He'd cross over. I would try to evade him. I saw the lights from his vehicle begin to get closer. I stepped off of the freeway on the right-hand side where there was a lot of foliage that I could take cover in, and he was able to close the distance to the point where he was, say, within about 30 yards, and because I was well hidden behind the foliage, I knew that he had absolutely no idea exactly where I was, but he could reasonably assume that he was maybe not too far away from me. And then he, as I was trying to continue to evade, I got closer and closer to the water and thought, boy, am I going to have to really, you know, take a drink in the river here to continue to evade this guy. And so he dispatched his dog, which could get around the foliage. And I thought for a second, he can't get to me, but his dog will. And so I went waist deep, chest deep into the water, and right as my head was submerging into the water, the dog had now closed the distance and was within a hand reach away from me. His dog, to get to me, had to get in the water, okay? To get to me, he had to get into the water. The moment this dog got into the water, he was as dead and as stiff as a Mexican piñata. He was absolutely rock solid, immovable, and couldn't move. I reached out my arm to grab a hold of his leg, and just like a mannequin, he was absolutely as still as a dried up object. Okay? And I knew that he was at that moment, the moment he hit the water, the moment he was in the water, done. And I reached out and grabbed the leg of this animal, which was now absolutely of no threat because he was just like a dried stick. I let go. I decided to evade this guy. I could hear the motor running because he had put his car in the park, gotten out to dispatch his dog. I decided to, from that point, submerge underwater and swim across the river underwater, and I could do two things. One, I could tell that I could breathe, and second, I could hear the engine in his car continue to run, and I had to stay submerged, and finally, he got in this car and left. And I stopped, and the sound of the engine in his car disappeared. And I was on the other side of the river. Just like that. That was the dream.
How do you interpret that dream? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. A couple of things, that there was a distinction between how the dream started, where there was a people about closer to the city. It was still later on in the afternoon, say, you know, 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And then the dream immediately advanced to it was night. I was further on up north, just that one small party of people. Maybe a family, maybe a collection of two small families as they crossed over the freeway to get toward the river. The river was nothing of a concern earlier in the day. And as I proceeded up north, continuing north up I-5, the fact that this guy, who I recognized from an earlier church experience, boy, did he gave me the evil eye as he was traveling south. And then the fact how, though he could get close, you know, and trying to close the gap, now that I'm a target, he dispatched his dog. And when I was in the water trying to evade, and then his dog, the moment it was, when he was in the water, his dog was done. So his search and retrieval mechanism, being that dog, was absolutely of no further use. And by being underwater to continue my evasion of him to the other side of the river, I just take that to mean nighttime being the time when the general biblical understanding, the general climate in regards to God and the Bible is at a time of darkness. And the water being, you know, the washing of the water of the word, and being submerged by being, you know, completely submerged in the word, effectively being the mechanism of our safety at that time. Now, that's how I interpret it. I am way open for further interpretive details.
This guy that you said was targeted you, was this someone that you knew?
Yes. Yeah, I view that as somewhat coincidental. I found it odd because he was a reasonable friend, and that was kind of a puzzling thing, that of all the people that I have known, that it would be his persona driving the southbound car. I know this guy. I view that, you know, in real life as unlikely, but the representation for a spiritual understanding, I view that as something a little different. Maybe something a little bit more general in terms of the distinction between the ministry and Christianity in general.
Yeah, might be the harlot, huh?
That's the way I took it.
Okay, maybe the harlot, and then the beast was with him, right?
That's the way I took that as well.
Okay. Well, good. That's the only way to escape from the harlot and the beast is to get in the word, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get across to the promised land. Praise God.
Yeah, you were completely submerged in that word, so you know that was a insight right there.
That was kind of encouraging to experience that part of it. But it was perhaps the biggest surprise of the dream. And this is something in the dream that I did not expect at all, but it was the most surprising element. When this dog had to get in the water to get around the foliage to get the meat. The moment that dog was in the water, man, dried wood. He was as stiff as dried wood. Legs. Torso, dried wood. It was a transformation that was instant. Instant transformation. Paws, legs, into the water. It was instant. And I reached out and I grabbed it, and he was as solid as beach driftwood.
Right. Well, when you said dog, the first thing I thought of was a spirit or a demon, and that could be a religious demon, whatever it is. And the, you know, the water, the word, you know, as soon as you, you know, I mean, that's your sword. That puts to death. And the other thing I saw is you were walking, you know, that's your walk as far as that. So I think it's pretty right on. You know, you went to the right, you went to the river, you submerged in the river, you know, which is the word. So I think the Lord is just showing you, man, you need to just stay submerged in that word. And, but that's...
Could it be a warning for all of us?
Yeah. Because we all need to be submerged in the word.
And I think it's...
Because darkness is coming. And it came quick. I mean, it was like overcast. Next thing you know, it was dark. So that darkness is going to hit like right now. And our safety is going to be in, you know, submerged in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get anything else, Michael?
No, y'all pretty much covered everything. The only way that the bride or the people of God are going to miss being put in, what's the word I'm looking for? To be captured is to stay it like Bart was saying, stay in the Word, get in the Word, and do what the Word says. That's the only way you're going to be able to get it, escape the beast and the harlot, and the Spirit said go along with it.
Amen.
And I had to stay submerged. When I was traveling under the river, underwater, I could still hear the engine of this guy's car running, and it was just the engine kept running, and I thought to myself, is this guy ever going to go? And I got to the other side. I stayed submerged. Finally, he drove off, and that was the end. That was the end of the dream.
Yeah, that was a good warning dream. That was awesome. All right, we only have a minute here, so does anybody else have anything they need to share, any prayer they need before we close out? Well, all right. So, Father, we just thank you for just another awesome night of sharing and just coming together and just being in just one accord, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you for this dream. We can all, darkness is coming quickly, and we need to all be in the water, submerged, and just seeking out your truth and putting that seed in us, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for just putting in all of us to, just a hunger for that word. Just show us any stumbling blocks, anything that is distracting us, any idols we might have, and because we know darkness is coming quickly, and we just thank you for just working in us and just showing us, Lord, just exposing our flesh, exposing what's unpleasing to you, and just bringing us to a point of just total death to self, just allowing that resurrection life of Christ to come out through us and to be used of you. So, Father, just bless everybody that's in this room tonight, and just bless their week, and just give them just open their spiritual eyes to truth and allow them to just see in the Spirit and, just be led of you, Lord, and not be led of themselves. Just guide and direct us in these last days, Lord. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Love you guys. Good night.